If you were able, would you please stand for our gospel reading? And our lesson from Luke, begin in the 13th chapter, beginning the 31st verse, we've experienced Jesus healing and teaching and preaching. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have to tell you, listening to that wonderful anthem and hearing these words, do you get a sense of the love of God for his people? We forget sometimes that Jesus had intense feelings. He wasn't a robot. He wasn't just acting out. God loves us. Jesus loves us. And in this scripture, one has come and said, "Herod wants to kill you." When was the last time you had your own personal crisis? That there was something that you just dreaded, that you didn't want to get up in the morning to face? And some of us, I know, are going through that now. But it's something that you had to do, no one else could do for you, and yet, by gum, you just would have rather pulled the blankets over your head and escape. All of us have had tough things to face. Jesus has gotten the word in this scripture that Herod is to kill him. We haven't always gotten word that somebody wants to kill us, although some of us have. Some of us, our very work puts us in physical danger. Some of us, things from our past or others' feelings towards us put us in danger. But I think there are a lot of us who have gone through a personal experience and it's like, this is going to kill me. Some of us in our child-rearing moments, that boy is going to kill me. We have our moments that we don't want to face. Those experiences of crisis. And the question isn't, when will a crisis hit? But how will we handle it when it hits? For in our living, if we're alive, we have moments of crisis. The power of this scripture and our scriptures is that Jesus models for us the promises of God to go to the depths of the darkest places that we are with us. That's his promise, that he is with us always until the end of time. And in this scripture, we have modeled some of the principles of how to get through deepest crises. As I share, I want to read to you something I came across a couple of weeks ago by James Auburn, who was talking about how we perceive Jesus. Let me share this in his words. Auburn writes, there's an attitude about Jesus' life that says Jesus was able to do all that he did because he was the Son of God. Crisis, death, dying is all in a day's work for the God Son. This has the effect of dismissing his relevance for us. Temptation, suffering, even death are a piece of cake for the Son of God. How does that help me? Auburn says, if Jesus confronts death and doesn't even flinch, well, that leaves me out of the loop. He's in a league way beyond me. If Jesus endures simply because he's God's son, what comfort is that to a poor mortal like me? The fact is, however, Jesus does blink. Do you remember when he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me? Or, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, it was not because he was the Son of God, Auburn writes, that Jesus endured. It was because of the principles at work in his life. To be sure, these principles worked with a degree of completeness that is hard for us. Jesus was able to maintain an absolute intimacy with God. His life was ordered around the centrality of God. Nevertheless, the principles that governed and unified his life were developed in his humanity. They were not simply an automatic result of his divinity. Between the lines of the scriptures today, I would share with you that there are some principles that you and I can take hold of. That the human side of Jesus did feel, and he had to be disciplined. And that's what guides us. And the first principle that I'd lift for you is that Jesus was not inner-directed, well, rather was inner-directed, not outer-directed. There are times in our life where all that outside stuff gets overwhelming. And when we're in crisis, just managing all the external can overwhelm us. Hear those words. And as we see how Jesus lived, he was inner-directed, not outer-directed. If he were outer-directed, someone threatening to kill him, he could have moved more into blaming Herod and scheming and maneuvering to control Herod. But rather, do you remember the words in the scripture? He responded with the fact that he intended to finish his work, because he knew what God had for him to do, and that's where he was focused. And that's where he was listening. When we have hectic times and crisis times in our life, I'll be honest, it is hard to still ourselves and to get quiet. It's part of why we need to practice that ahead of time, so that's part of how we move through life. But we gain strength in times of crisis when we take time to listen and to slow ourselves down. I am going to do some slowing down myself on Tuesday. I leave for 3 weeks. Mike's going to be around here just himself for 3 weeks. Be good to him. Be good to him, because it's a lot to try to pastor, and there's some of you who are going to be stepping in the wings to help in this time, and I'm grateful. But I'm going to leave for 3 weeks to visit my daughter, who lives in Tasmania. Jess has spent the last several months in contemplative prayer in New Zealand and then moved in December to Tasmania, where she is a caregiver and directs a home in Hobart, Tasmania, for intellectually disabled adults. I thought about her a lot during the day of pampering yesterday, because I'm going to pamper her. And Jim's checkbook is going to help pay for it. Thank you, Jim. We need to understand how hard it is, some of us, to do some of the work that we do. I was blown away yesterday by the lives of the women who are such caregivers of people with such profound needs. Jess works for L'Arche International, which is a community that designs homes for adults who are intellectually disabled, spiritual homes. Homes where we live in, but spiritually led. And I got an email from her last week that just kind of bowled me over. She is in an experimental house. The three residents in her home that she's responsible for are somewhere between 18 months and 3 years of age in intellectual capacity. That's as good as it'll get. She took one of her charges, named Renee, to a Taizé worship service. And Renee speaks very limitedly. She's not toilet trained. And Jess said in her email, she said, "Mom, I kept thinking, what were you thinking, Jess, in taking this young woman who's frenetic?" She said she was a rock star of meditation in that service. An hour of silence, and silence and prayer. And following the service, she said they walked out, and Renee clutched her hands to her chest and squealed the word, "Me," and thrust her arms to the heavens. She got it. She said, what a way to begin Lent. Isn't that Lent where we slow ourselves down to connect with the one who created us to seek him? No matter what our intellectual ability is, we are God's creations. And God has created us to experience and to seek him. Jesus had that. He modeled that for us. We are to be inner-directed. Stop our fighting. Just stop. Slow it down. Talk with God. We're scared. Slow it down. We're overwhelmed. We're overworked. Slow it down. And connect with the God who created us and who's promised us to be there. Always. Second principle is that Jesus was very clear about the driving force of his life. The driving force of Jesus' life was that God was in charge. And in all that Jesus did, he tapped into his love of God. In all times and in all places, it was God who was at the center the human Christ world. It kind of works like this for us. When I am clear about the love of God for me and my love for God, no matter what is happening in my world, I am secure. When God is in fact the driving force, not something that's on the side that we occasionally tap into, but the driving force in our lives, we experience and we give love in a profoundly different way. There's a story that came to me this past week of a man who had spent the bulk of his adult life seeking God. There are those who spend their lives in that kind of professional pursuit, rabbis, Sufis, priests, pastors. This man wanted to attain the highest level of God, and so The story goes that he went to see God and he knocked. Knock, knock. And the voice came back, "Who's there?" And the man replied, "I am." And the voice said, "Go away." The man went back and he prayed and he listened and he listened and he listened more. And finally he came back and he came to the door and he knocked. Knock, knock. And the voice said, "Who's there?" And the man said, "You are." And the voice of God said, "Come in." When God is the driving force in our lives, we get a different sense of our purpose because we understand God's purpose. We are in union with His purposes in our lives. We are renewed and we move forward. The closeness with God allowed Jesus to stay focused on the goal of His life, no matter what was happening to Him. And I think His ultimate goal was love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It is mind-boggling to us to understand in our limited way the unconditional love of God. For when we slow ourselves down and we get our stuff out of the way, what we experience is a profound depth of a love for us, for God's people. And that's what gets us through the roughest of our times. Can there be anything greater than that in our life? Can there be anything greater in our moments of crisis, of discovering our need to continue loving? That's what I heard in Cody and Katie's wish. This little girl's family got that. We keep loving. We have been loved, and we give in love. We have been loved by God. He gave in love, gives in love. We are loved. We continue to give. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.